Let's read together from 1 Timothy 6. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, as they may experience true life. I don't know whether you've ever heard about the little town right next to a river. It was a peaceful community, loving. There were a few rich people, but everybody had enough. They cared for each other. And one day, a body came drifting down the river. They were shocked. Somebody died. They buried the person, didn't know who he was, where he was coming from. It wasn't long after this experience when another body came drifting down the river. And it became a frequent phenomena. Till one day, somebody asked, "I wonder what's happening upstream. And I wonder whether there's something that we should do to make this stop." This little story just shows us the difference between justice and charity. Justice has to do with changing the conditions and the system that causes suffering, that causes people to fall into the river, to get to drown and to be taken downstream. Charity is actually doing loving deeds. It is using your energy, your time, your resources to meet a need of somebody else. That's charity. And this story does not suggest that we should separate justice from charity, or that justice is more important than charity, or the other way around. They belong together. And it's actually sad and dangerous to separate them from each other. And unfortunately, it's happening today. If you look around, you might see that there are those people, especially religious organizations or non-profit organizations, that are deeply involved in charity work, but not really in any justice work. And there are those that are involved in justice work, bringing about change in systems and conditions to make a better life for people, and they might not necessarily have a charitable heart. And the danger is then, of course, that they change a new system and other people will drown in the river. Or it will only change the system to benefit themselves if they don't have charity, a care, compassion for people that fall into the river. So both of them are important, but here's the big thing about Paul writing to a young Timothy. Listen here, the most important thing is charity. Charity starts at home. Before you want to do justice work, you've got to do charity work. Timothy is in very difficult circumstances. The Roman government has taken over, and there's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of racism, sexism, classism, and people are suffering, are dying. But Paul's focus is not so much now to take on this new government as what it is to do good and to be good. Be generous and share what you have. That is a virtue that we've got to develop in ourselves. It is not a gift, and it is not a fruit. It is a virtue that you should develop before you do anything else. Meister Eckhart said, the outward work can never be small if the inward one is great. And the outward work can never be great or good if the inward is small or of little worth. So you're invited today to focus and to put the emphasis on inner work, the inner work of charity, and we will focus on generosity. The cluster of charity, according to Paul, is good works, generosity, and sharing what you have. How can we cultivate generosity? Well, first of all, by recognizing your source. Paul says, look at God who richly gives us all we need. So here's the idea. Look at God. God created you. And it's a gift. It's the biggest gift that you've ever received. It's the gift of life. The organs, the functioning of your body, the breath. He did not only create you, but he sustains you. Not just physically, but emotionally. Look at the people in your life, the place that you find yourself in. Everything is given by God. And we should be conscious of that fact. And we should thank God for it. Now, here's the strange thing that happened to us. It's so inevitable that it's a gift and we don't deserve it. God's existence is so inevitable, but it's at the same time so hidden. We can miss it so easily. Look at the way that we sometimes talk or think about life. Now, it's not so much a gift as I've got rights. It's not so much about what I have as what it is about what I don't have. And it's not so much about what God has given me as what it is about what I've done and what I've accomplished and what I'm doing. It reminds me of the elephant and the little mouse that crosses a bridge, and the bridge started moving. And the mouse looked at the elephant and said, just look at us, what we're achieving. We're moving this bridge. And actually, it's such a tiny little portion of what our contribution is to what happens in our life. It's all gift. It's important not to lose that perspective. It has a huge effect on our lives if we do it. You become very anxious if you forget it. No, that's why the law reminds us and says, you should never, if you've accomplished something or if you have something, think or say, through my strength have I done this. The law says, remember the Lord our God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce. Abraham Herschel, the great Jewish philosopher and theologian, said if he could summarize his Bible, the Old Testament, in one word, it would be remember. It's more than cognitive recall. It has to do with putting God in the center of your awareness, of developing a way of life where you think and feel in terms of God. Everything. And it's got some work to do to get to that place, to develop that consciousness. In the Old Testament, God asked people to build an altar and to take a pilgrimage every year back to that place where they had that experience. Why? To never forget the Lord. Never forget what He's done for you. Never forget what He is doing for you. So it's some inner work to be done. Jesus teaches us in the big prayer that our Father to thank God every day for our food and to ask Him as our source to provide for us and to protect us. It's part of the type of work that should be done to create the consciousness that God is your source of life. And then the next important thing is to enjoy what you have. Paul says that everything has been given for our enjoyment. In this past few months, I wouldn't say it's research, but I'm just conducting a survey on the whole topic of enjoyment. And one thing that I've discovered is it's not that easy. Most people find it very difficult to enjoy things. Now, because there's this thing, one of the researchers on experiences and emotions says that there's something, what she calls a foreboding joy. At the moment that you experience something, you stop yourself to enjoy it, because you feel like you are inviting misery into your life by doing it. And there's a lot of reasons. She describes this experience of joy as one of the most common experiences of joy. It's the type of experience that everybody thinks they're the only one that has it. But actually, it's one of the most common experiences. And 95% of people experienced it with their children some or other time. Why? Perhaps because we feel guilty for having something good to enjoy. Perhaps we feel it is wrong. We don't exactly know why. But it's not so easy. Because there is a type of joy, and usually it's things that we feel it's sinful, that won't have a good effect on our psyche and our souls. So we shouldn't do it. And that's the stuff that I actually want to do deep inside of me. So it's not so easy to discover what joy is and how I should enjoy something. But here's something that came forward. When you experience something that draws your attention, stop for a while. What's happening here? Is it the beauty? Is it the power? Is it the goodness? What draws my attention? And just linger for a while. Be absorbed. Give yourself to that experience. And by that way, you are savoring the experience. And you will have an experience of joy. A lot of us think joy is just something that you can experience by having it in excess. Drink more, eat more, but it leaves you the next day with a hangover. You feel lonely, you feel guilty, and you won't feel that good. But when you really enjoy something, your consciousness would be enlarged. Life would feel bigger. And you will have a deep experience of joy. The next thing is that you should actually start practicing generosity. Become more generous. Paul says, be rich in good works and generous to those in need. So two things. After you've discovered the generosity of God and you know that God is generous and you've experienced something of that, you can now give it. And you do it by doing it. But see a need, see what you have, bring the two together. amazing thing happened to me. Not so amazing, but I worked with somebody for quite a few years, and I thought she was a bit sloppy, until I one day realized that perhaps she can't see very well. I took her for an eye test, and the optometrist said that actually she's as blind as a mule. She won't recognize your face on 3 meters. And that somebody had a need next to me, and I wasn't aware of it, and I could do something about it. So it's becoming aware of needs. It's becoming aware of what you have and bring the two together. But you'll find resistance within yourself when it comes to giving. A few years ago, I decided to move from a large, big house to a tiny house. I had to get rid of about 2/3 of everything I had. It was a journey. I've discovered so much about giving. I had this little wardrobe. It was my grandma's. It was an ugly wardrobe, had no use, was in the garage, but I couldn't let go of it because what would she do? She would turn around in her grave if I give it away. And when I thought about it, I thought it's sentiment, and not that it's wrong, but I don't think she really cares what I do with her wardrobe. And my thoughts about my grandma was not fostered or kept through this wardrobe. I can let go of this wardrobe. It's false guilt that I'm sitting with. I've discovered that things have power, emotions. So it's good to take something and just hold it and ask yourself, how does this object makes me feel? What do I feel? One of the fears I had was I might need it again later on, and then what would I do? And it happened. I needed some stuff, so I had to go and borrow and buy some stuff. But again, when I thought about it, I felt it's still worth it because it meant so much to other people, the stuff that I give away. And this wasn't that much money that I had to spend on things that I need now that I had. A fear that I had once was that I might waste something very precious by giving it to these people. I'm not sure whether they're going to appreciate it and look after it. But again, it brought me in touch with my need of control. And I realized that a gift doesn't work that way. If it's a gift, you let it go. It's their problem. It's not my problem if they don't look after it. And I hope they appreciate it. It would give me more joy by giving it to them. But let it go. A lot of us think of ourselves as not rich. I don't have that much. You know, but the richness all has to do with who you compare yourself with. If you don't worry about food tonight, if you have a good house, a shelter, where you would be warm and safe, and you don't worry about transport tomorrow, and you have a work to go to, a secure income, you're one of the 10% rich people in the country. You have so much to give. And so much will happen to you when you start doing it. Paul says 3 things. You'll become humble. Riches, he says, be careful. Things have power. It can make you proud. If you're proud, you think, I've done it. I can do it. When you start having thoughts like, I better do it myself, then I know it's done well. You know, nothing happens if I don't take the initiative and if I don't do it. Now, little warning signs. Now, and humility, the Bible teacher says, proud is just before the fall. Be humble. You will move from wishing to having true hope. But here's the big thing. You will experience life. A life that is truly life. Because this is the interaction in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give themselves to each other completely. We call that giving and that interaction love. We say God is love. And you will participate in it. You will get in touch with your true self. To be humble is to be in touch with your true self. And you'll discover that there's this deep need in you to really love this way. It's so good to be generous. That's why we are so moved by people that are generous, because it's something of the true self that is in every one of us. It's our deepest nature. And when we do that, we will experience this life and it will grow in you. And it will become an unconscious way of life, just to meet needs with loving deeds. So where are you today? So here's the invitation to give today. You can give an offering, or you can also make a contribution to invest today. If given you feedback on what's going on, and you can take hands with the community, with the projects that we are busy with, like the one you've just watched, in furthering the kingdom of God, in becoming generous givers of life to other people. The QR codes will appear on the screens, and you are welcome to make use of them to give. May the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Amen.